Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and today I want to get into something that over the last, 12 to 18 months, I would say, Ashley and I have spent a lot of time on within our business. And last week I had a patient bring up what we've been working on, not knowing that we've been working really hard on this. And it was great validation for just the amount of time and effort we've put in on the patient experience that we have at our practice. And we give a shout out to Jerry Durham on this. I think he does probably the best job of anybody in our profession in regards to really systemizing this and making sure that people have a really world-class experience. And oftentimes within our own profession, within PT, you don't have to be that good. Like if you're in network and you are convenient and your doctor and their doctor says to go there, you can kind of suck and they're probably still going to come see you because many people don't know any better, but it's getting harder. And the consumer is more informed and they're looking for other options and they have more skin in the game. They have higher deductibles. So they're inherently looking at these other options out there, which in some ways helps us in cash practices or out of network practices. But also I think it will expose certain people that are not doing a very good job, of this. And, the experience that people have is something that as a small clinic, you can control and make sure that you do a good job of. And it is something that I think you distinctly have an advantage with when it comes to bigger practices. Like it's much harder when you got a ton of volume coming through to have each person feel like they have a really good clinical experience, a good patient experience or customer experience, we want to call it. But when you're smaller and you can focus more on those individual people, you can make it a really, really solid experience for them. And it makes a huge difference. So let me tell you a story of how this came up, with me. So last week, one of my current patients who works in the health and wellness community in Atlanta and is somebody that has seen a lot of other clinicians. Like the first day she came in, she named off like six people in the area that I know, either I know personally or I know of, and they are all really good clinicians. And yet she's in my office, right? So still having a problem. I wasn't the first person that she had come to see. And she was referred to me by one of our other clients that we work with that works with her as well. So sends her our way. And I think this is the third time that I saw her. She came back in. She's feeling better. She's trying to get back into some running stuff. But more than anything, she sat there for a second and she goes, you know, unsolicited. She goes, you know, I have to tell you, I think that you guys have created the best healthcare customer experience that I've ever had. And I just thought that you should know that. And I thought, whoa, that's a really cool thing to hear, because it's very intentional for us about how we engage with people, how we follow up with people, and, you know, how we create an experience that we want people to really feel like is unique and consistent. And to have her tell me that was really a cool way of sort of having validation on all of the work that we put in, really detailing this out and working on it, which is not, it's not easy to do. And she said something really interesting. You know, she said a couple things. She's like, number one, you know, you guys are so fast to get back to me. She goes, your front desk staff, you know, you, your docs, like they're so fast to get back to me something that I have going on, whether I need to reschedule or I have a question about an exercise or whatever. And she goes, typically in healthcare, that's the opposite of what happens. The other thing that she said was that she felt like we did a really good job of creating a clear plan for her in her mind and in follow-ups for where she was at now, what was going on, and what we were going to be working on going forward, and really like laying that out. So this we call pre-framing. And this is something that we very much intentionally do. And I'm going to talk about a couple ways to do this within your practice that are really like simple, effective ways to improve your customer experience. It really costs you nothing but some of your time and effort. You know, and the last thing that she said was, you know, when she comes in, our office staff, our front desk staff, they always ask, you know, first of all, they say hello by her name. And then they ask if she'd like some water or coffee. And she told me, she's like, I never say yes, but you guys always ask. And I appreciate that. She goes, even though I don't say yes. And something as simple as that can make a big difference. So it was cool to hear her experience, and it was great for me to, you know, to be able to hear that, because it is something that we do work really hard on. And I do think separates us from a lot of other, you know, clinics in the area, especially with the type of model that we use. But I'm going to go over a couple strategies that you can use. And some of these are kind of, I've alluded to, but I'm going to organize them for you, and really have five of these. To help improve your customer experience, even if it's just you, even if you're a side hustle, or if you're just starting or whatever, this doesn't cost much really aside from time. It shouldn't cost hardly any money, if any at all, but can dramatically increase the likelihood that somebody is going to want to continue to work with you or send anybody to see you. And I think that's one of the areas that I think early on practitioners, they miss the mark on is, you know, if you're getting a few new people in a month, like that should snowball. Like you should start to see them just spew how awesome you are on everybody around you. And if they're not doing that and they're not sending their friends and family to come and see you because of how amazing you are, then you are not either as good of a communicator and clinician as you think you are, or B, you haven't set up the parameters in a way where they feel like, how could they not send somebody your way? It's an amazing experience. You're helping them get better. They feel like they're learning things and they're informed. And that's an environment in which, you know, lots of people are seeking, but there's not a lot of those options out there. So let's start these out. So number one, simple, effective way to improve your customer experience. I would say responding to people quickly. I get this all the time. Like people love the fact that our office staff, that our clinicians get back to people quickly. And I think there's probably a line here, you know, that you don't necessarily need to be on your phone and your computer all the time. But if you get an email from a patient, and in many cases, it's something super simple, like they're just wanting to make sure, hey, is this right? Like, am I doing that right? Or wasn't I supposed to do this thing? Or they want clarification in many ways of their homework. Talk about compliance. Like, in a practice like this, we have the opposite of a compliance problem. If you're in network, oftentimes, you know, you may have a compliance problem. People not necessarily doing what you tell them to do. When I was in the Army, this was rampant, right? I mean, it's free healthcare, so there's no skin in the game. Compliance was tough. We have people reaching out to us, asking us how they can get better outcomes by doing their homework better. Like, damn, that's amazing. That's what we all want. So why would we not want to help them facilitate that by quickly responding to them and clarifying whatever they have a question on? You know, it's something that, you know, to this day, a patient could email me, you know, at whatever, 8 o'clock at night. And if it's something quick, I'm getting back to them, you know, and, but that's also because I own the business, right? I don't expect our staff to do that necessarily, but I do expect that if they have a question, their client has a question on something, or they've told them that they're going to do something, that they actually do it and they do it quickly so that, you know, that they're not waiting. And that gap in communication, people will fill in with their own thoughts of what they should do or what you're thinking. And this is a great way to ruin a relationship, honestly. So respond to people quickly. This could be a contact request that somebody puts in for you. They could leave a message, you know, they could shoot you an email about wanting to work with you. Doesn't matter. Get back to them as fast as you possibly can. Assuming that, you know, there's nothing else going on and that you don't have anything more important, that you're doing at that time, but speed of response is huge. Number two, inform them of the next steps. I talked about this a little bit with the lady that I'm working with, and for her, you know, I don't really know what happened with the other clinicians she works with. I'm not sure the backstory or whatever. I think that, in my opinion, I don't know, most people do this or not, but we definitely do, that most people have no idea what's going on when they step in your door. And we look at the lens of being a clinician and assume that they have this base understanding of what the heck they're doing there. But in actuality, they don't know. They have no idea. Or maybe they have a vague idea that somebody kind of told them, or they got some bad information. And what can be really helpful is to say, here's where you are now. Here's what's going on. And this is the next step that I expect. This is the step that I expect after that. And then after that, and after that, and after this period of time, these things that you're struggling right now will become easy. And then we'll progress to this, 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 and this. So we're really laying this sort of framework of what they can expect within their visits with us, within their time with us. And we're really what we call kind of pre-framing, or some people call it like future framing, future pacing. We're basically telling them a story that they can really see, you know, vividly within their mind of where they're going to be, and explaining things that are hard now that are going to be easier. And that's incredibly powerful for somebody, in particular for completion of plan of care. And some of the things I really like to do with this is really inform them, especially people that have chronic pain, that, hey, we expect undulation in your return. We expect there's going to be peaks and there's going to be valleys, and you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. And it's going to be hard for us to really pinpoint what's causing those, because the nervous system and pain is such a complex thing. But if I pre-frame that, especially if somebody has chronic like back or neck pain, if I can pre-frame that and they have a bad day, all of a sudden I've already explained that to them, that that's going to happen, and they view it as, oh, that's normal. Danny said that was going to happen. If they have a great day, then they know, okay, cool. This may not be gone forever. He told me there I would have these peaks and valleys. That right there informs people of what to expect. They feel comfortable. And when they feel comfortable, they have a better experience with it. Just think about like you going into something that you don't know what's going to happen. Like, there's stress associated with that, versus if you know exactly what is going to happen next and what that path looks like, you're going to feel a lot more comfortable as you go through that process. So number three, say hello and use that person's name. So I did this like unknowingly forever. I don't know. I just always say hello to my patients and use their name. And using somebody's name in particular is such a simple thing to do, a very, very easy, but very effective thing to do. Think about it sometime when somebody uses your name, right? And they say, hey, you know, so-and-so, thanks for coming in. How are you doing today? You know, and oftentimes it's just our friends and our family that use our name, right? It's not Mr. Whoever or Mrs. Whoever. It's their first name. That's friends and family. And that's a comforting feeling. That's something that everybody can resonate with and is a very easy thing to do. You know, so I try to say hello and use that person's name at the very beginning of a visit and at the very end, and thank them for coming into working with me and for their hard work while they're there. And that right there costs you no money whatsoever. None, hardly any time, you know, very, very little time just to add their name in and thank them, you know, or say hello. But you'd be shocked at how many places you go, in particular at the front desk, where people don't say anything. You know, I mean, I've seen it from both sides. I have a, you know, our business where we spend a lot of time on this. And then, you know, having been in the military, I saw it as somebody that was, you know, in charge of government employees. And man, you want to see somebody that just doesn't really care about their job is, well, I'll take it back, not all, but definitely there's a chunk of government employees that work as administrative, you know, clerical positions at these clinics, and they just, they don't want to be there. Okay. It's obvious. And it's obvious to everybody else there. And it just spreads just like this terrible culture, this terrible experience that people have. And that's the opposite of what we wanted to have in our clinic. And in some ways, I think it was helpful to see what a bad experience looks like. And the difference in people whenever they have a good one. So something as simple as saying hello, using their name, thanking them when they leave, using their name is so, so beneficial. It will improve your patient outcomes and your experience dramatically. Now, you want to make sure the fourth thing that you do is you follow up with an organized plan. So when they're in our office, you know, we can tell them, hey, this is what I expect. This is what we're going to work on today. This is what we're going to work on next time. I expect you're going to have these changes in this period of time. And you can get super detailed with that. And that's cool. The reality is people that are in your office are going to remember a fraction of what you say. So one of the things that we do that I think is absolutely, it's a no-brainer. You need to do this. It takes time to do this, but it makes the outcome so much better, is to have a follow-up email, in particular, a really well put together follow-up email that describes what's going on, what your expectations are, what you found today, what their homework is, and how they can get in contact with you if they have any questions. So this is basically reinforcing what you talk to them about in the office. And this reinforcement, this clarity that they get from this really helps them a ton in terms of feeling confident that they're in the right place. Not only that, but their spouse might not know what the heck is going on, and they're going to want to know, all right, what are you working on? What's this person doing with you? And to have it organized in a manner as like an email, that makes a huge difference in terms of having spouse buy-in instead of that person being like, why do you keep seeing these guys? What the hell are they doing? Like, when are you going to be done with that? Like, that drives a lot of people to stop doing plan of care, versus if their spouse knows, oh, okay, you're working on this. I remember reading this email. You know, you informed me on whatever's going on. Some spouses don't care. They're not going to read it, but some of them do. And they are going to care, and they want to know what's going on. And if you can organize that for them in a follow-up email, makes a huge difference, especially if you can organize what their homework should be and let them know, like, this is what it looks like. If you have any questions, let me know. You know, these are new to you. This is how you can reach me. And make sure they understand that, because that's going to really, really help them get clear on, oh, okay, if I have a question, this is what I'm supposed to do. So it's just taking away all these questions that they might have, this sort of gray area, and you're trying to answer everything as best you can in a very concise, clear way. Now, the last part, this is a kind of a no-brainer, and I don't know why I even have to say this, but I've seen it where, you know, people don't do this, and that's ask people about their lives. It sounds simple, right? Like, hey, just be a human. Ask another human about how their life is going. And too often, I see this is not the case, in particular with clinicians that want to dive straight into, you know, whatever. How's the hip? How's the back? How's the whatever? Instead, why don't you say, hey, how's your family? How's your daughter doing? How's your son? You know, I ask people all the time about their family. Once I find out they have a family, or their dog, or their cat that's important to them, whatever. I've got a lady that I work with, and I've worked with her for a long time, just doing like preventative based work. She's a runner, and She has cats. You know, I'm not a cat person, but she loves cats. She's, you know, they have three cats. That's like their family, basically. Her husband and their three cats. And each cat has their own personality. I know all about them. I ask her how her cats are doing. One of them got sick the other day. She spent about 5 minutes talking to me about what was going on. And I just chatted with her about that. And it has nothing to do with why she's there, but it has everything to do with why she's there. She's there because she knows that I know her. I have a connection with her. I have a relationship with her besides her knee or her ankle or whatever is going on. And the more you can realize that people come back to work with people, that is huge. Like, they refer people because they like people. They come back to work with people because they trust people. And yeah, maybe I'm not the whatever. I'm not all that excited about her cats, but she is. And it's not about me during that hour. It's about her during that hour. So me bringing up what she likes and asking her about what she likes is the direction that we bring the conversation. You know, if she doesn't like football, why am I going to talk to her about, you know, whatever games were that weekend? I'm just not. And it's because she's not interested in that. And she's going to be there for an hour with me. So I'm going to drive the conversation, ask her questions primarily based on interests that she has. And asking people about their lives is a huge, huge part of it. Like, we should know our clients, you know, kids' names, their dogs' names, their hobbies. You know, today I had a client that came in and I asked him about how his son was doing, who just went off to college, is into motorsports, you know, and he was telling me about his roommate and the stuff that he's studying from engine standpoint. And like, you know, it was just cool to hear about him. But asking him how his son is doing, seeing him light up because his son is doing really good in school, and him describing that, like, sure, it's 5 minutes at the beginning of our visit, but that 5 minutes just shows him that I understand, you know, him on a deeper level than just, you know, a shoulder or whatever is going on. And that is a huge, huge feather in our cap in terms of an experience, a patient experience, because we create these lifelong relationships that people have with us, and they have a lot of trust with us. And this is something that you have to maintain and cultivate. You can't just fake it. But that leads to us being the go-to for anything that happens within that person's life, their family, musculoskeletal things that happen. They're quick to come to us because they know that we understand them. They trust us. They trust our opinion. And they know that they're going to get a consistent experience, customer experience every time they come in. So that's 5 things you can do real quick. Let me recap. So respond to people quickly, inform them of next steps, say hello and use their name, follow up with an organized plan, and then ask them about their lives. Pretty simple. Not a single one of those things is going to cost you a dollar. Not a single one. So whatever app you think you can use to automate this, you can't. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes actually caring about these people. And you can't just throw them into a drip sequence in MailChimp or whatever and think that that's going to do it for you. It just won't. You know, you cannot automate being authentic. That's just the way it is. People will see straight through that. So I hope this helps. Even if you have a small, you know, clinic, even if it's just you and your little side hustle right now, hey, this is still going to be incredibly helpful for you. If you start these habits right now, and as you do grow and you start to bring on staff and a front desk, it's a great way to teach them what's working, how to do it correctly, and to make sure that you have this consistent long-term customer experience with everybody that you work with. So guys, as always, thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and we'll catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.